For the word this morning.
Amen.
Praise God. We're a Holy Ghost church. We're a word church. Praise God. I love when the Holy Ghost moves. And the Lord had a word of encouragement just for general to the church to let you know. And I know it'll be pertinent to certain people, but it's important that you know. I was in the Reverend Rich and Daphne Walker meetings on Wednesday night. And this came in. I knew I was to share this. You know, David said this in Psalm 119, verse 162. He said, I rejoiced at your word as one that found great spoil. One translation says, one that found great treasure, one that struck it rich. And what was the Lord trying to say to me? When you have found a place where the word of God is going forward, there's no need to look any further. Lord told me to share this on Wednesday night. Because sometimes, you know, people are looking for something different. When you find the Word, you have found something valuable. You have found a treasure. You know, when the pirate goes out and finds the treasure and they find it and they dig it up, they find the X marks the spot and there's the treasure and it's boiling over with all the gold and all the different things. You know, they don't go, well, you know, this must not be it. I know the map says X to here, and I know it's filled, but you know, there just must be something else. No, they rejoice. They throw the money around. Yeah, when you have found some place where the word's going forward, there's no need to look any further. Yeah, Lord want me to share that on Wednesday night. So whoever that's for, praise God. That's a word from Lord and encouragement. It's called a word of knowledge, by the way. We want those things. We want the move of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. But anyways, let's go forward and let's believe God for utterance this morning. Father, we're so thankful, so grateful. Lord, we do rejoice at your word as one that struck it rich, as one that has found great treasure, Father God. Lord, we're so thankful for what we're going to get this morning. Father, we're so blessed, so excited, Father God, to what we're about to receive. Father, this is our help. This is our change. The truth sets us free, Father. The word brings light in dark places. It keeps us from stumbling. It keeps us from falling. So, Lord, we thank you. We have found great treasure this morning. And, Father, we're going to take part of that treasure. Lord, speak to hearts this morning. Father, hit bullseyes in people's hearts. And what I mean by that, Lord, is may I say something that'll be pertinent to every single person's life. That'll be as if I'm just speaking directly to their heart. And they'll be thinking to themselves, how did he know to say that? And Lord, that'll be a sign unto them that you love them, that you care about them, Father, and that you got a better tomorrow for them. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the glory for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 10, kind of our golden text for the series we started last week about authority. And I just want to read that real quick. Not going to do a bunch of review here, just kind of going to kind of do a little bit of an overview. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. Hallelujah. What we're doing is we're exposing the devil is what we're doing. And it's awesome because he's a loser and people need to know it. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, it says, and he said unto them, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, he said, I give unto you, everybody say me.
Me.
He's talking to you here. And behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now notice this. And nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Praise God.
Now, it's interesting. Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, praise God. There's a ditch on one side, there's a ditch on the other side, but there's a middle of the road. And we need to study the word, and thank God that's what my job's to do. And there's two words in that verse that talk about power in the English. But how many of you know the New Testament wasn't written in English? The New Testament wasn't written. And I feel the need to say this right now. When God does something like he did to me on Wednesday night, it's because he's trying to help people. It's because he's trying to help people. It's not because he's ever trying to condemn. It's because he's trying to help people. And I'll tell you, that word came to me clear as day. Just want to make sure people know that, what the Lord's trying to get across to them. But anyways, I'll go on now. But there's two words in there translated English, the English word power. The New Testament was written in Greek. And if you go back and look at the Greek manuscripts, which isn't a hard thing to do, you just get a Greek concordance and look that verse up, you're going to find that there's two different words for the word power there in the Greek. The second word that you see where it says you have power over all the power of the enemy, that's the word dunamis in the Greek, and that means power. It's where we get our word dynamite from. And the first word power is the Greek word, I believe it's translated exousis, that's how it's spelled anyway. And that word means authority or delegated authority. So you could read that verse like this. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God's will and God's desire is that you would have authority over every single thing, every bit of power that the devil has, and that you would go through this life where nothing hurts you, where nothing touches you, praise God, where you're victorious, where you're walking like a champ. Now, that doesn't mean you won't have tests and trials. But it does mean that you won't be toppled by them. It does mean that you won't be taken out by them. It does mean that your life won't be over when those things come, praise God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but aren't you glad for the big old but? Oh, I love when God puts that little, just gets that but in there. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Praise God. God's will is that you would have authority over all the power of the enemy. So you being able to walk through this life victoriously, you being able to walk through this life freely, you being able to walk through this life like a champion is dependent upon what you do with the authority that God gave you. Because he said, behold, I, Jesus, give unto you. Notice he's saying, my hands are off this thing. He didn't say anything about God there. Doesn't say anything about him there in the sense of him doing something. He says, I'm giving you the authority. Giving you the authority. That means you have to become skillful with the authority that God has given you, praise God. You being a champion in this life depends upon you knowing your authority. You know, if you think about a police officer, they got to learn the jurisdiction that they're in and the authority that they're given within the boundaries and the lines of what the state, the county, the whatever, right? The town and village, wherever they're at, they got to know their authority. And they got to know how to use that authority. It's the same with a Christian. I can't stress this enough. I don't mean to be demeaning, and I'm not trying to be down on anybody, but you would be shocked at the little revelation there is about the authority of the believer that the Christian has. How do I know? Because I talk to Christians all the time, and I hear what comes out of their mouth. You know, it's amazing, you know, some of the things that they'll say, and it just is such a glaring thing that you don't realize the authority that you have. You don't realize the place that God has put you by being a Christian. He has basically given you everything that he had. He gave it to you. He said, I give you authority, right? I love when Jesus said, he said, all authority has been given unto me unto heaven and earth. And then he says, go ye therefore, Matthew 28. He's basically saying, I have all authority in heaven and earth. And he says, go ye therefore. What's he saying? I'm giving you all authority in heaven and on earth. Yeah. Praise God. And so we need to learn about our authority, and that's what we're doing. We're trying to figure out, if you weren't here last week, I strongly encourage you to get on live stream and listen to that message. Start learning about your authority. Because you, notice it doesn't say that your pastor's authority will get the job done for you. Notice it doesn't say that your spouse's authority will get the job done for you. Grandma, who's a praying champion. Grandpa, who's just stout in his faith, serving in the church. That won't get the job done for you. Your authority. You trampling over all the power of the enemy has everything to do with what you do with your authority. Hallelujah. So let's find out more. But there's two things I see from that verse. Number one is that we see that we have authority. But the purpose of that authority is what? Against the enemy. You see, the reason we have trouble in this life and the reason things are the way they are is because there's a devil. He's in control of the planet. You can see it with how bad it is. The Bible calls him the god of this world. But also, he's out trying to mess you up. His job description is steal, kill, destroy. Well, that's not very good. And that's why things are tough sometimes. That's why things are problematic. That's why he works through people. That's why some people give you the hardest time. Situations and circumstances arise. It's because we live in a fallen world run by a fallen enemy who hates us, who hates our guts, wants to see us destroyed. And so that's why we have a problem, but that's the awesome thing that Jesus said. He didn't say, I'm giving you authority for something you don't need it for. I'm giving you authority for something exactly you're going to need. Praise God. Go to 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. You need to see this. Excuse me. It says, be sober. I know you're still turning there, but I'm going fast here today. You can look on the screen or get there sometime. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your, everybody say my, your adversary, made it personal, didn't he? Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. So the Bible says that you have an adversary. And the Bible said he's seeking to devour you. But you know what's awesome about that verse? Is that word may, M-A-Y, is not talking about the month. If you look that one up in the Greek, it means to give a permission to or to allow. The devil can't just destroy anybody. If he would have, we wouldn't have been here today. Because we're exposing him and this is the last thing he wants. He needs your cooperation. He needs your permission. And we're going to see that today. We're going to focus this message on him, not to exalt him, but to expose him. He needs your permission. See, it says seeking whom he may devour. Listen, he wants to devour everybody, but he doesn't have the authority to devour everybody. Those that will permit him and those that will allow him. You see, the devil is looking for your cooperation just as much as God is looking for your cooperation. Doesn't the Bible say that the Lord is looking to and fro throughout the whole earth to find somebody whose heart is perfect towards him, that he may show himself strong on their behalf? That verse in context is talking about someone that will trust him, someone that will believe him. God is saying, I'll move strong on your life if you'll cooperate with me. And the devil's saying, I'll move strong on your life, I just need your cooperation. But the point is that you have an adversary. And of course we know in John 10:10 talks about the thief coming to steal, kill, and destroy. But what I'm going to show you today is what I like to call responsible Christianity. And I'll tell you what, we don't like responsibilities in America. I don't just necessarily mean you. I mean, as a whole, we like to pass the buck. We like to, somebody else do that. Somebody else take care of me. Somebody else do this for my situation. That's just, it's running rampant in our culture. And it's the same way in the body of Christ. You hear it all the time. It's so much easier to the mind and the flesh. It's a deception from the enemy because it gets Christians to sit on their duff and do nothing. But a deception of the enemy is this que sera, sera mentality towards God, that whatever will be, that God's in control and God's sovereign and God will do whatever he wants. And people buy into that hook, line, and sinker and they sit back and whatever comes their way, well, this just must be the hand I'm dealt with. That is a lie of the enemy. And what I'm going to show you today is that God never one time... Now, who's your enemy? The devil. Who's the authority given to use over? The devil. I'm going to show you in the Word that God never in the New Testament said that he would do anything about your problem, which is the devil. In fact, you're going to see four different witnesses where God told you every time it's your job to do something about the devil. You know, you might have said this to me. I know I've said it before. I'm not thinking of a certain person. So if you've said it, don't be mad at me. Because I've said it too. I'm admitting it. But I think it's just, I have a hard time not laughing. I try not to do it in your face. Because that wouldn't be very sweet of me. But when people say to me, oh, the devil's been after me. Oh, he's given me such a hard time. Basically, what you should be saying is, oh, I have no revelation of who I am in Christ. Because if you did, you wouldn't be complaining about the devil. Yeah, I've said it, I've been there. Oh, the devil's just after me. Well, good. Great. It's awesome having someone that's after you that's already defeated. That's worthless, that the Bible says has been stripped, has been paralyzed. Well, we'll see that in this series. So hopefully at the end, you won't be saying that anymore, that when he comes on you, you'll do something about it. That's like, people need to start getting sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, and just draw a line in the sand and say, enough is enough, praise God. But hopefully today you're going to see, man, I can't just sit back and wait for God. Four different places, four different people who were mighty, mighty people in the kingdom of God all said the same thing. You do something about the devil. Well, let's take a look at it. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 is where we're going to start. The first witness is Jesus Christ. He's a good one. He's one I'd like to have on the witness stand on my behalf. He probably wouldn't tell a lie. He's for me. Praise God. Mark 16 and verse 16. Of course, this is the Great Commission where he instructed believers to go out and do something. But notice this. He says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now look at verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. So the category or the context or the group of people he's talking about are them that believe. Or believers, people, not talking about Jesus doing something. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, he's not here. He's not here in the sense of he's not running around doing things for you anymore. He's seated on the throne next to the Father. He's expecting you to do something. That's why He gave you the authority. He delegated it to you, praise God. And He says this, and these signs shall follow them that believe in My name, praise God, the name of Jesus. They, not Him, not God, they, the believers, shall cast out devils. You want to get the devil out of your life, out of your children, out of your finances, out of your body? Do something about it. Cast him out of your life. Stop sitting around waiting for God to do something about the devil. You're praying. You might as well sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Stars, twiddle your thumbs together and do a dance. That will be just as much power saying, Father, do something about the devil. He's going to say to you, Son, I already told you. Daughter, I already told you. You do something about the devil. Yeah. We don't like this because it's easier. My whole life I was taught, oh, God, just do something, God. Just do something, God. I think basically what we're saying is, whack, across your face. You didn't do enough, God. You didn't do enough, God. Just, oh, Lord, do something. What more do I need to do? You're lucky I'm not God. I'd get so frustrated and mad. Oh, I'd be stomping around in heaven. I would be like, what more do I need to do? My face would be getting red. My veins would be popping out. I'd be pulling Moses and Abraham and David aside saying, what is wrong with these people? How do they not see it? I put it in plain for them to understand. I can't do anything about it. I told you. I gave you the authority. You cast the devil out. So there's the first witness where the Lord tells us to do something about our adversary. Well, let's look at the second witness. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. I think Paul's a good witness. Only probably the greatest Christian to ever walk the face of the planet. And what I mean by that is not the most loved, but the one that got the most revelation, did the most for God. We're not going to be given revelation to write new chapters in the Bible. Praise God. You know, there's no brand new revelation out there. Now, the Word might be enlightened and revealed to you, but there'll never be any new revelation on the Word of God. It's already been revealed. The whole thing's already been revealed. We might get enlightened to it, but no, none of us are going to get something that's not already in here that is brand new doctrine, is what I'm trying to say. Paul had the most, so he's a good witness. In Ephesians 4 and verse 27, look what he says. Neither give place to the devil. Or you can say it this way, neither give place to your adversary. Ephesians 4 and verse 27, listen to what the Amplified says. Leave no such room. Now remember, he's writing this to Christians. He's encouraging and admonishing Christians. So he's telling them, don't do this. He says in the Amplified, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Who's the responsibility fall on, God or you? You. God's not going to give him an opportunity. God's not going to give him a foothold. But there's the second witness from the Apostle Paul himself. First Jesus, now Paul is saying the same thing Jesus said. Do something about the devil. Don't you give him place in your life. Praise God. Well, let's look at the third witness. Let's look at what old Apostle Peter said. He's a good one. Turn the world upside down on its head. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. We already looked at that verse. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Praise God. Amen. Jesus said, do something about the devil. Paul said, do something about the devil. He's your adversary. He's the one causing you the problems. He's the one making life hard for you. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, you might get alarmed by that and say, man, I've seen National Geographic. I've seen what a lion can do. Bible doesn't say that he's a lion. The Bible says that he goes about as a lion. It's Halloween every day for the devil. He's every day dressing up and going about with a roaring voice. But when you see in the next coming weeks what the Bible says about him, the position that he's in, the Bible says that he's under your feet, that he's been stripped of all principalities and powers. He has no weapons anymore against you. When you see that, you'll see he's just a lion, but he's got no teeth. He's got a roar on him, but just because he goes about as a lion doesn't make him a lion. Now, I'm about to give you a visual that's going to stick with you for the rest of your life. There was one Halloween when I was younger that my mama dressed me up as Robin Hood. And I had green tights on, and I had a hole in a green towel that went over my head, and a stick with a rope, and a little construction green hat made out with it, and then a little feather put in it. Just because I dressed up like Robin Hood didn't make me Robin Hood.
Right.
Now, you're thinking about me in tights right now. You just get that thought right out of your head. You don't need to be having those thoughts. Praise the Lord. You know, just because I gave you the thought doesn't mean you have to keep thinking about it.
Right.
But didn't make me Robin Hood.
That's right. Yeah.
Didn't make me Robin Hood. You know, he goes about as a roaring lion. Doesn't mean he's a lion. He has been defeated. Praise God. You know, there's a scripture that slips my mind now in the Old Testament that says someday the devil's going to be revealed for who he is. And this is what the response is going to be. This is the man that caused the nations to tremble and the earth to be afraid. This one, like basically saying, this is the one that we were afraid of. See, when you see him for who he is, remember the Wizard of Oz? Oh, they were terrified. But when they saw the wizard for who he was, all fears went out the window.
That's right.
Same with the devil. You know, we have this idea. Oh, people say, Pastor, don't talk too loud about the devil. Why?
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of him.
That's right.
In fact, I love talking about what a worthless loser he is. I love talking trash to him and rubbing it in his face. Tell him how he's going to burn in hell forever. There's no redemption for him. I can be forgiven. He can't. He's the biggest failure on the face of the planet in the history of time. He was in the presence of God and still failed. Still missed it and can't get redeemed, and you can. Praise God. How's that taste, devil? How's that taste? Praise God. I talk to him all the time. Let him know who he is, where he's going, how things are going in my life. Praise the Lord. He doesn't like to hear those things. I tell you what, he's bothering your mind and messing with you. You need to just start getting a little attitude and a little bit of spunk with him. Start pacing your floors and start talking about the truth. Start talking about how you're redeemed and how you have a God who's bigger than him, that cast his butt right out of heaven, that he got shot to the earth as like a lightning bolt, and that he's going to hell and he's going to be chained up forever, and he's never going to go away, and he thinks it's going to be a party. You know, there's a song called A Highway to Hell. Let me tell you what, you don't want to go there. It ain't going to be good. There's not going to be a party down there. It's going to be the most awful, most miserable place on the face of planet Earth, and that's where he's going.
Hallelujah.
And we're not, praise God. God never made hell for people. Made it for the devil and all his buddies. Praise God. But anyways, notice this, it says, your adversary the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. One translation says, resist him. Now there's Peter telling you that there's an adversary going about as a roaring lion seeking if he can devour you. But he says the way to stop it is don't beg God. Don't sit around and wait for God to do something. You resist him. That's the third place in the New Testament. The Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We can build a doctrine off the fact that the Bible says that we have to do something about the devil, not God. But I'm going to take you a step further and give you one more. Let's see what old brother James had to say. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Praise God. Oh, the devil, we got him on the run this morning. Oh, he is kicking and screaming. Don't tell him, Pastor Mike. Don't tell him who I am. Don't tell him that they can have authority over me. Oh, I can just hear him whimpering and squealing like a baby. He has just done peed his pants, done pooped his pants. I'm sorry. I'm not very eloquent up here, but that's just what I think about. I think of him running with his tail between his legs, little trickles coming right out of his diaper. Praise God. Scared to death. Running from South Dayton this morning. Got him on the run, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, praise God. Woo, praise Him. Praise the Lord. James 4 and verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Talking about yourselves. You're the topic here. The Christian. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's not my job to resist the devil in your life. It's not your spouse's job. You know, when you get to a certain age as a child, it's not your parents' job anymore. You know, when you start to learn these truths of faith, as you grow in the faith in a natural age, you're going to be required to be more and more on your own for faith and spiritual things. Right now, I can bring anything that comes into Caleb Abbey's life is my responsibility right now. But there's coming a time where they're going to have to stand on their own, praise God, and learn these things. It's not going to be mommy and daddy's job to resist the devil anymore.
Right.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you. One translation says, he will run from you as in terror. He is terrified of you. Absolutely terrified of you. When you get to that place of knowledge and revelation, remember the story when I got hired at that after-school program and went in there like a dummy? didn't know anything. 15 or so staff members under me, 100 kids, kindergarten to fourth grade. I'm talking about coming off not too long ago, 26 jobs, quitting them, and for some reason now I'm getting hired for a position where I'm in authority. I mean, God has a sense of humor. And I didn't know anything. And I let people take advantage of me. I didn't want to cause a stir or ruckus. I didn't really even know what to do or how to do it. Kids taking advantage of me. Parents taking advantage of me. Staff members taking advantage of me. But when I found out that I was the boss and that I could can people, hire people, I could kick kids out that wouldn't get on board. I could kick kids out just because if their parents were going to give me a hard time. I'll tell you what, I stepped up at a place. My chin got raised a little higher. My chest got puffed out a little more. And things started to change. Hallelujah. Same with your authority. When you start to realize these things, you'll start getting quite cocky with the devil. You'll start getting some Holy Ghost jack on you, and you'll start saying, enough is enough. Enough is enough, praise God. Isn't it amazing that people, when they come to me, well, the devil's been after me, and I want to just, you know, sometimes, yeah, you know, when I'm driving down the road, I fell asleep at the wheel once when I was 16 years old. Courtney was behind me. I should have been killed. She saw the whole thing happen. And now, when that starts to happen, I don't know if you want to even picture this in your mind too. I will slap myself in the face as hard as I can. And it jars me. And it jars me. It wakes me up. Oh, it hurts so bad. I got a handprint, but man, I can stay awake. And sometimes when Christians say, Pastor Mike, the devil's up. What'd you do that for? Well, do something about him. He's after you, so do something about him. Do something about him.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good work.
Imagine a police officer with all this authority, and here they are at a restaurant or something, and they're seeing a robbery take place or something like that, and they're sitting there with their gun, they're trained, they got you guys carry tasers with it, all, I mean, they got their, what are the clubs called? Baton, yeah, bonk people with them. I mean, they got everything. They're in shape, they've been trained to do this, and here's a robbery with somebody, let's just say it's a little old 90-year-old man, fragile, and he's just walking in there with this, and you could tell it's his finger, it's not even a gun, and he's saying, stick it up, and they sit there at their table, gun, training, the baton, the taser, all the training physically that they could easily go, oh, I just sure wish he wouldn't do that. Oh, well, I just, I don't know what to do here. I wish this wouldn't happen. What do I do? That's stupid.
Yeah.
But that's what Christians do when they have a defeated, paralyzed enemy that's on their case, and the devil's got them on the run when it should be the other way around. So, in closing here, how do we keep him out then? If the Bible tells you to do something about it, well, then what do we do? Well, I'm going to show you. And it might not be popular. But we're not here to be popular. We're here to be faithful.
Amen. Praise God.
Go with me to James 4 and verse 7 again. We'll stay right there if we're already there. I'm going to show something to you. Now, this is where it's important that we see that everything's in the Bible. Because this is where some toes can get stepped on. James 4 and verse 7. We love the resist the devil, he'll flee from you part. We love it. Oh, that's awesome knowing we can put the devil on the run. But that's not the whole verse. The whole verse says, submit yourselves to God. Then resist the devil. Let me just say it this way. How do I say it? I'm going to show you a verse to prove it. If you're living in a submission to God is an obedience to God. We're not talking about trip-ups and stumbles where we can repent and get back into the grace. We all fall short of the glory of God. We're human beings. We miss it. But a consistent lifestyle of disobedience to God. Do you know what sin is? We think of different things of sin, and we have our different go-to things in our minds and in our culture of what sin is. All sin is disobedience to God. Anything that God has said to do, whether it's in your heart or whether it's in the Word and you don't do it, is called sin. That's what sin is. It's not this big magical word that we got to try to figure out. Anything disobeying God is sin. Yeah. Anything at all. And if you're in a consistent lifestyle of disobeying God financially, disobeying God in relationships, disobeying God in the Word, disobeying what He's put on your heart, and you try to resist the devil, he will laugh you out of the building. He will laugh you out of your house. Your authority goes out the window and out the drain when you're living a life that's not submitted to God. And the Lord showed me this. He said, go back to what Adam and Eve did. He said, I gave them authority and dominion. He said their authority and dominion got flushed down the drain when? When they disobeyed God. When they did what, see what the devil said to do, there was what God said to do and the devil said to do. They stepped over into the devil's realm and onto the devil's territory where he has authority. See, there's one of two realms that you're living in on this earth. You're either in the kingdom of God or you're living according to the kingdom of the devil. There's no three, there's no four. There's one or two places. You're either with the kingdom or you're not with the kingdom. And when you're not with the kingdom, the authority of the not with the kingdom rests in the devil. He's the leader or the one that's heading the charge in that group. When you get over into that territory, and again, don't be thinking to yourself, oh, I got to live perfect or the devil's going to get me. That's not what we're talking about. In fact, you ought to have a lifestyle of repenting as fast as you can and getting back into God's graces. Amen. I'm talking about the people that know they're disobeying God, know God has been speaking things in their heart. There's things in the Word, and they just keep have this flippant attitude. You will get laughed out of the building. Adam and Eve's authority went down the drain when they did it the devil's way. Because they got onto his territory where he was the one in charge. You need more proof? Well, I'd love to show it to you. 1 John 5 and verse 18. Maybe you never see this one. This will really enlighten you. I tell you, it gets awfully quiet in the church. I'll say you're doing pretty good here today. It got real quiet last night in Olean. It gets real quiet when you start talking about how people live their lives. When you start talking to people about different things in their lives, what to do with their money, what to do with their kids, what to do with their bodies, what to do with their eyes, their ears, it's real quiet. 1 John 5 and verse 18. But if you want the devil to run from you, you're going to have to be submitted to him. 1 John 5 and verse 18 says this, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth or guards himself. Guards himself against what? The sin, which is simply disobedience to God. Heather, would you please real quick pull that up in the Amplified? I want to see that in the beginning of that verse so people can understand what we're talking about here. 1 John 5 and verse 18 in the Amplified says, we know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the human screw-ups that we have and that we missed it. We're talking about deliberate and knowing practice. What does practice sound like? A continual, reoccurring thing. I'm practicing that. Practice committing sin, but the one who is begotten of God carefully watches over and protects himself. Now go back with me to the King James. So we understand what we're talking about here, the lifestyle of disobedience. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that begotten of God keepeth himself. Now look at the result of that. And the wicked one toucheth him not. There is a way to live life unscathed and untouched by the enemy. Either the Bible is or it isn't. I know that's unpopular because people start examining themselves. People start seeing what they're putting in their bodies consistently, what they're watching, what they're doing, how they're talking, how they're treating people, how they're raising their kids, what they're doing with their money. Wait till I show you this that the Lord showed me. Go to Genesis chapter 4. I'm not smart enough to find this stuff, but the Holy Ghost is. Genesis chapter 4. Praise God. That's two places. Submit yourselves, the devil will flee. Sinneth not, the devil can't touch you. And this verse clears it up and shows us. In Genesis chapter 4, for time's sake, let me catch us up to the verse I want to go to. Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. Well, Cain and Abel both brought offerings to the Lord. Cain was a tiller of the ground, and Abel was like a farmer. And he brought the first fruits, or the best of what his offering was. And Cain, the Bible says, just brought some of what he had, denoting that he didn't bring the best. And we know he didn't bring the best because God said, I don't have respect unto Cain's offering, but I have respect unto Abel's offering. And not that God loved one of them more than the other, but God had more respect for the offering. See, what you do matters. Once you get saved, works are everything, people. They are. God had more respect for certain works that you do and be able to bless you more in certain ways. But anyways, so he says, and Abel or Cain got mad, got upset. And God said that Cain says, why are your countenance changed? Why are you angry? What's wrong with you, Cain? If you would do right, you'd be accepted. Well, let's pick it up in Genesis 4 and verse 7. Genesis 4 and verse 7. He says to Cain, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? Same with us. And if you doest not well, notice this, sin lieth at the door. waiting for an opening. Let me read the rest of that. And unto thee shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. He's telling you, saying, listen, do right, because if you don't, sin's lying at the door. And you need to master sin, because sin has a desire to rule over you. Look what it says in the Message Bible. I'll just read it, because I don't think we have that translation. It says, if you do well, won't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin is lying in wait for you. Now notice this next line. Ready to pounce. It's out to get you. You've got to master it. What is the revelation that the Bible's telling us way back in Genesis? Everything that we just looked at in those four witnesses, where God said, do something about the devil. Where God says, if you sin not, the devil can't touch you. If you have a lifestyle of obedience and faithfulness, and that includes when you mess up fixing it. A lifestyle going with God is not a lifestyle of perfection. We're striving for that, but until we get to be with Him and have a new body, we won't hit perfection. Now, we ought to grow, and we ought to not have stupid attacks like we had when we were younger, and then they ought to get fewer and farther between, and better, and lesser. But we're always going to struggle in the sense of we're going to miss it. So going forward does not mean a lifestyle of perfection. But we're talking about a heart issue here. Isn't it amazing how much God was able to use David and the screw-ups that man had? Yeah. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for a willingness to go forward towards perfection. But he says here, sin is ready to pounce you. What he's saying is, when you sin, I'm not condemning you. I'm not angry with you in the sense that you're a terrible person. But you need to know the facts. That when you sin, you get out from underneath my covering, and sin is lying at the door. It's waiting for you to pounce on you. And to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Now, I don't want to get too serious here, but maybe I will. But people need to wake the heck up. People need to see, you have images of the devil at Halloween, just this little tail hanging out and this little pitchfork and someone running around in a costume and, oh, he might cause me to poke me or just, the devil is trying to destroy you. He has no mercy. He is behind ISIS. He is behind planes flying into buildings. He is behind the evil things that happen to children. The murders, the rapes, the horrible, disgusting, inappropriate things. He is behind all of it. He has no mercy for your children. He has no mercy for your family. He has no mercy for your finances or for your body. He wants to take you out as miserable as he can and hurt you. This is nothing to mess with. Now, don't get into legalism again with this whole sin idea that, oh, God, I'm not perfect. The devil's going to get me. That's not what we're talking about. You know where you're doing wrong. Correct it and go forward. What am I saying? Shut the door. Shut the door on those things. Praise God. Parents, shut the... See, my little kids are... They're like... Little kids are like passengers in life. They're just innocent. They don't have the faith. My job is to train my children. Do right with your kids, parents. Praise God. The devil would love to get to them. You think about a lion in the wild. What do they go after when they come upon a herd? They go after the weak or the young. Why? Vulnerable. Easy prey. A single lion doesn't go after the strongest muskox or whatever. Doesn't go after them. I think muskox live in like Antarctica or something, so probably not a lion's not going to be there. But anyways, whatever, wildebeest or whatever it is. What do they go after? The wounded ones. The young ones. Why? Easy prey. The devil would love to prey upon our children. But see, mom and dad need to stand their ground. And shut the door on them. Praise the Lord. Your finances. Shut the door on the devil. Do what's right with God. See, people struggle financially because they refuse to submit to him financially. Yeah. In relationships, submit to him. Love walk. Being sweet. Yeah. Close the door on the enemy. Praise God. And we'll close with this scripture, Ephesians 6, and we'll be done. Ephesians 6. See, it's not that God is up there in heaven thinking you're terrible and you horrible person, you sinning. No, he's thinking, oh boy, you're opening the door. You're opening the door. You're opening the door. Ephesians 6 says this in verse 16. How do we close the door on him and keep him out? Well, number one, you live a holy, submitted lifestyle. Yeah. And again, if there's people here, you're struggling with addictions. You're struggling with habits. God knows that. But don't just sit on that and say, you know what? The biggest lie the devil ever tells people when it comes to sin is, well, at least I'm not doing that. Well, at least I'm not doing that. Don't. You don't want to do any of it. Any of it's an open door. Don't do that. And if you're struggling with those things, come to me. Your pastor has a gift on his life to help you to go forward in those things. God knows your heart. Praise God. Let's get that thing taken care of. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, you could actually lump faith in with sin in the sense that the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So any disobedience, when you're in worry, doubt, and unbelief, and you're not in faith, you're just as much in sin as anything. You're just as much in sin when you're in a doubt and a worry place as someone going to rob a bank, as someone going to steal a car. Just as much. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But I want to point this out, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You want to keep the devil out of your life? Become skillful in the area of faith and live a holy, submitted lifestyle. He won't be able to touch you. You will go through life with a smile. You will go through life, things bouncing off you, things trying to take you out, the storm's coming, but you're standing while everyone else is crumbling. You're standing. Yeah, that's how you do it, praise God. But the Bible tells you to do something about the devil. So let's go forward. Don't miss next week, part 3 of our authority. Hallelujah. You need to be here to find out. If you weren't here last week, get on live stream and find out what was said. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the revelation of the word this morning. Oh, the devil is on the run. Praise God. Father, we're going to turn instead of being defensive all the time, we're going to start becoming offensive and putting him on the run. Lord, I know that a lot of people, you know, Reverend Richie said something about, you know, knowledge isn't what the majority of the problem is, and maybe in a lot of places he's been it isn't, but I know a lot of people don't know this stuff, Father God, and they need to know who the devil is, and they need to know what they have. Father, so help us to know, because when we know, we'll act on what we know. Father, the devil is defeated. He is defeated. He has potential to do great harm, but only if we're ignorant and only if we allow. And Father, it stops today. And Father, we just say by faith, today's a brand new day for us. Today's a brand new day for us, a new day of going forward. The past and the failures and the mistakes, they don't matter anymore. We are making a pact or a commitment with you to go forward in the things of God, to be submitted, to live a lifestyle. In those areas that we struggle with, we're going to get help and we're going to overcome those things. Father, we love you. If I could ask everybody to bow your heads, please close your eyes, nobody looking around. Everybody ask yourself this question. In your mind, say, if today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? See, when I ask myself that question, my answer is absolutely. And I have the Bible to back me up. Why? Because I've accepted Jesus. I believe that He died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that He rose again. The Bible says, if I call on His name, I will be saved. It says nothing about church attendance. It says nothing about how much money I've given. It doesn't say that I have to have a certain number of good works to get in. And it doesn't say that my bad works can keep me out. It simply comes down to if I believe in Jesus, I can be saved. Now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me assure you, we won't embarrass anybody. You won't have to stand up. You won't have to say anything on your own, and you won't have to come to the front. But if you want to receive Jesus, if you can answer that question, say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I'll tell you what, there's such peace at night laying my head on my pillow, not being afraid to die, not being afraid of where I'm going, knowing I'm going to be with Jesus forever. Praise God, whenever it happens, glory to God. There's a peace, and you can have that peace. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you believe in Jesus and want to receive Him once and for all, nobody's looking around. This is between you and God. Would you just slip your hand in the air if you want to receive Jesus this morning? Anybody at all, I see that hand. You could put it down. Anybody want to receive Him this morning? Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Don't let being nervous or you know, you don't want to be seen. Everybody's eyes are closed except mine. Anybody else want to receive Jesus? Just slip your hand up in the air. I'll have you put it right back down. This is between you and God. He has such a better life for you. You don't have to become a member of this church. You don't have to step foot in this building ever again to be accepted by Him. Is there anybody at all before we close this prayer that wants to receive Him? I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your boldness. I'm patient sometimes because I know how I was sitting out there. I was very shy. But this is between you and God. The Bible says if you just call on His name. So what we're going to do now, the last responsibility you have is to call on His name. But I assured you, you're not going to do that by yourself. The whole church is going to pray with those two people. And all I ask is if you raise your hand, you repeat this after me and mean it with all your heart. It's not just the saying it, it's the believing it. And if you believe Jesus died and rose again, you are eligible for salvation, to be saved and go to heaven. All of us, including those two people, go ahead and repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I believe you died on the cross for my sins.
I believe you died on the cross for my
sins. I believe you rose again from the dead.
I believe you rose again from the dead.
And I ask you to come into my heart.
And I ask you to come into my heart.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving me.
In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. Praise God. That's exciting. Hallelujah. If you raised your hand, of course, there is a next step. Praise the Lord. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. I meant that. That's the truth. But if you want to experience all that God has for you, learn about these blessings, you're going to need to find a pastor that will teach you about them, that will enable you to get the knowledge and then to get the faith for them, and then start accessing some of these things. Things like divine health, things like prosperity, things like peace of mind, protection and favor, and different things like that. So if you raised your hand, I encourage you, we'd love to have you come back here. Get faithful in a Bible teaching church. God's got a great plan for all of us, doesn't He? Hallelujah. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30, we'll have a nursery for you if you need it. Go out of here and be blessed this morning and be dismissed. We'll see you soon.